Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in the book of Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Last week, we spent most of our time in verse 1 just looking at besetting sins, things that we consider to be acceptable sins, but they're not according to the Word of God. Today, we'll be dealing with lying. We'll also be dealing with the fear of man and not the fear of God. And we also see how Abraham shifts the blame on excuses and even blames God instead of just saying, "I've sinned and I need to repent." It's a sad piece of scripture, but the quote that I loved out of this is Abimelech when he confronts Abraham. He tells him, "You have done to me things that ought not to be done." Very to the point, right? And I love that. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study. "It is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me." It is the Lord who judges me. Like when he says there was integrity of the heart, well, guess what? He passed the test. But will you? So if you were to have the Lord show up tonight, will you pass the integrity test? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your heart? Is there sin there that needs to be dealt with? He's like, "Man, I did not touch her. Abimelech, you know, had nothing to do with her." And so that's important because the next chapter we'll be dealing with the baby, which is the seed, the Messiah. You know, the seed has to come. And Satan's doing everything he can in this moment to stop it. But God's like, "No, it's not happening." Verse 7 says, "Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you surely shall die, you and all who are yours." He's like, look, you can either do one of two things. You can either return Sarah back to Abraham, or you're all going to die. And the other thing that we see is we see that he calls him what? A prophet. A prophet that lied. A prophet that lied. God's grace. God's going to deal with Abraham. It's God's grace. But this is the first time in the Bible the word prophet is used. Very important that you mark that down. This is the first time that the word prophet was used in the Bible. And you think to yourself, man, but he messed up. We do too. But he's like, hey, he's going to pray for you. You're going to get back Sarah, and then he's going to pray for you. He's going to intercede for you. And we see this, you know, in the lives of the prophets that appear. You know, when you think about Moses has to intervene when the golden calf shows up. And then you have, you know, he has to again when they find out about the spies and they're losing their mind and they're like, we can't take them. They're giants. And Moses has to step in again. I mean, time and time again, Moses will do it, Jeremiah will do it, and so will Amos. They're prophets of God, and they have a purpose. And Abraham's fixing to find out what a purpose is of a prophet is to pray. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, verse 8, and called all his servants and told them all these things, and the men were very much afraid. Oh, would there be days when men would be afraid? He shares what happens in the dream that God shows up and they're afraid. Right now, you read the Word of God to somebody, you tell them what's in Scripture, they could care less. There's no fear. They fear man more than they fear God. They fear climate more than they fear God. They fear gender more than they fear God. They fear the LGBTQIA more than they fear God. Christians fear that more than they fear God. I'm like, hey, you want to do the pro-Palestine thing? Go for it. Why don't you go ahead and move to the Middle East? You'll be stoned to death. You have no clue what you're supporting. You have no idea. But when we give people the Word of God or we tell them what God has done, you would pray that men would listen and have an awe or a reverence for God. He gets up first thing in the morning. He arose. That word implies that he didn't waste any time. Like, I got to get up and we got to get Sarah back to Abraham. We got to get this done. And he tells these men, and these men are frightened by God's word and his warning. In Romans chapter 3, verses 18, it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul seems to sum up a man's sin in a final statement. There is no fear of God before their eyes because they are in sin. They don't fear God. In verse 9, it says, then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. He comes to him and tells him, hey, you've sinned. And your sin has affected me and my house. It could have killed everybody. See, we think our sin doesn't have an impact on anybody but us. I can do this. It's not going to hurt anybody. Always going to hurt people. It hurts a lot of people. And he calls him out. What have you done to us? If somebody's in sin, what have you done? Right? Oh, no, you can't do that. You may trigger somebody. With what? The Word of God? Then let them be triggered. If they're in sin, let them be triggered. I would rather you be a little upset with me because you're on the path to hell or you're on the wide road. I would rather you be upset. You have done to me things that ought not be done. In Proverbs 28 verse 10 says, whoever misleads the upright into evil way will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will have goodly inheritance. It's like they may have misled you, but God's going to have the final say. God will have the final say. Even when we think about them, as he goes and tells the men, even the men were fearful. Abraham's not fearful. Abraham probably slept real good. Didn't bother him until this moment. Now he has to deal with it. You have probably one of the hardest things in the Bible. You have an unbeliever, a Gentile, calling out a Jew on their sin. It would be no different than somebody who's not following God calling out a Christian for their sin. It's the worst thing in the world. Because your integrity and your character is that jacked up. That a non-believer, somebody who's not even following God, has to call you out on your stuff. You know, we saw even this past week with John Lindell and the church and James Rivers Church and the pornographic pole dance that was done in St. Louis, Missouri, at a men's conference. I don't want to see none of that at a men's conference. What you're there to do is to feed the sheep. You're not there to entertain the sheep. We're not here to be entertained. We're here for the Word of God. And the worst thing in the world is to have men packed, stadium packed. They should have left night one. The organizers are to blame. John Lindell, who doesn't want to take responsibility, is to blame. He's in charge of the church. It's the senior pastor. If one of y'all make a decision and it goes against God, it comes on me. That's why it's very important when you're making decisions, you think about that. They don't look to the person. They go, well, why did the pastor allow it? And so Mark Driscoll gets on stage and he starts talking about an Asher poll. He should have just said, hey, look, I got to go home. I'll see you later. He should have never shown up. Like, did you check the itinerary to see what was going to be happening? The male is a male stripper on his off time, performing in front of a bunch of Christians. What have you done? What have you done? This is the church of America. They're so worried about entertaining people. Did Jesus get up and do a dance? Did he have people come and perform? He taught the word of God. He just shared God's word. That's it. What did Peter do? He got up at Pentecost and preached. What did Ezra do? He got up and preached. But this is where we're going. And look, I know that Mark Driscoll's already apologized for saying what he said. Honestly, something should have been said the night before. Somebody should have said something. Somebody should have checked the itinerary to see who was going to be there. You could have prevented a whole lot of mess. But we're so worried about doing these men's conferences and making these big mega church things and all this stuff. And we have to have entertainment. We need to have a comedian or somebody come in and talk. Man, I get all that. But those men need the word of God. Those men need to have the fear of God put in them. They're leading their families. When we go to a men's retreat, it's the gloves come off and we need the word of God smacked across our heads and woken up. Because let me tell you something, there are men that come into those conferences dealing with heavy stuff, and they need the word of God. And so this stuff gets called out. It's going across the social media now. And realistically, you know, Mark could have grabbed the guy and told him, hey, bro, I'm not teaching. I'm not going to be a part of this. And he could have went ahead and went on home. But the first time the guy took his shirt off, I do not want to see another man naked. I don't care. You may say it's just his shirt off. I don't want to see it. And you go, Mike, you're old-fashioned. I don't want nobody wants to see this. You don't want to see, like, I don't want to see yours. I don't want to see it. I hate going to the beach, especially today. You got to have your eyes on the horizon. Men, you better be looking out. You just focus on the ships out in the far away, because there's a lot of mess out there. And I know that's old-fashioned, but it's like, man, at the end of the day, I've never seen a man that wanted to go, hey, take your shirt off. It's cool. Yeah, and so for me, it was just like, we're in this verse, and I'm like, all I could think of is somebody probably should have stood up and just said, what have you done to us? Because it's like, you're the pastor, you're the senior pastor, you're supposed to be thinking of what's best for the congregation, what's best for those men. And what was best for those men is the word of God. And what ended up happening is Mark Driscoll walked off stage, so guess what those men got? No word of God. So who won? The enemy did. We have to be very careful. Like, when we think our sin and the things that we do don't impact people, it does. It does. And so we need to be mindful of those things. I read this and I'm just thinking, man, what an expression. What have you done to us? I mean, he just comes straight out. And now, does he say this because he knows about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? And this is the God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? We don't know. But he's very forceful in what he says. And it's to remind you, again, you know, for us, as we are to be men and women of God that have godly character and integrity. And the moment you start lying, and the moment you start telling half-truths and things like that, you're destroying your character. You're destroying the integrity of your testimony. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. You know, it goes back to that sincere brotherly love. And because I don't want to live a life of hypocrisy, I want to be sincere and tell you I love you enough, brother, to tell you, hey, this thing you're doing is a sin. Now, y'all have been in the situation before where it's not received. It's okay. At least you said something. What happens at that point is you just got to pray. Because it's just like I talked about, that sin's got to ripen like Adrian Rogers was discussing. And oh, it's gonna end badly. We don't want that. Because we do love them from brotherly love. You need to be praying for them. And they may have hurt you deeply. Just keep praying for them. Lord, reveal the sin. Reveal the sin. Bring it to light. Let them repent. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. And then there's the big point right there, for reproof and for correction. We forget that part. And why is it for reproof and correction? The next part of the verse, and for training in righteousness. It helps you. It trains you. So for us, we need to be in a place where if we're walking with God and we know that it's sin, you need to reprove and rebuke. And a lot of times, brothers don't want to do that, and I get that, but it is what it is. Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. And then it tells you, if they don't listen to you, take somebody with you. And do you know what happens when you bring them to me? If they don't want to repent, out the door they go. Oh, no, Pastor, you can't do that. It tells you that in Scripture. Why? It tells you to give them over to the devil with the hope that they repent and come back. See, do we really follow these things in church? I don't think we do anymore, right? Oh, no, we don't do that. We just let them keep hurting and hurting and sinning and sinning. And it's not what the Word of God tells us. Titus chapter 1, verse 13, the testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. And we went over this verse last week in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. And then John chapter 3, verse 20 says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. They'll get exposed. They'll be exposed. Now, it says in verse 10, and Abimelech and Abraham... said to Abraham, what did you see that you did this thing? And Abraham said, I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. You know, the one thing I hate worse than anything is when you sin and make an excuse. Own your mess. Own it. It's yours. In humility, I've sinned. I need to repent. Don't sit there and make excuses. Don't start giving me other, like, well, this person did this and they did. Own it. Abraham's making excuses here. He's like, there's no fear of God at all in this place. You're supposed to be fearing God. You're his prophet. You're not even fearing God. You've had no fear of God since you've left. This is the same sin you did 20 years ago. He blames his wife. Well, I thought you were going to kill my wife. So I just gave her up to you. What would have happened if he would have taken her and they had relations? I ain't giving my wife up for nobody until the Lord comes to get her. Right? That's how it's supposed to be. But Abraham did it twice. Two times he rolled the dice. He feared man more than he feared God. It doesn't matter, no matter where you go, whether it's Austin or New York City, there is no fear of God, guess what, at all in this place, but there's fear of God in here. I fear God. I don't care what's going on out here, right? If he is your Lord, you fear God out of reverence, and it doesn't matter that all these people aren't fearing God. You walk with them. In Proverbs 16:6, it says, by steadfast love and faithful iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord one turns away from evil. When we fear God, God shows us the direction that we're supposed to go. When you fear man, you'll walk right into sin, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you fearing man. You see things like Christians being locked up in Melbourne for praying for somebody who's LGBTQIA. You get 4 years in prison, even if the person wants prayer. Fear's here of God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm not worried about what's going on out here. We have to trust God's word. And if Abraham trusted God, maybe he wouldn't be in the position he's at, because he never asked God which way to go. He just got up and left. Right? He just got up and left. I'm out. He never went to God and asked, like, Lord, which way do you want me to go? Do you need me to stay here or should I go? He just got up and left. He jumped the gun. And he's trying to sidestep his responsibility by pointing up, wasn't me.
He starts blaming other people. I thought, you know, y'all had no fear of God, so I had to lie. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, you did it. Stop blaming the devil for your mess ups. It's like you did it. Unfortunately, some people get so wrapped up into what Abraham's dealing with here is sin, telling lies over and over and over. They don't know what the truth is anymore. They've been given up to a debased mind. And yet they think they're following God. Verse 12 says, besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my mother, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. Again, he's given all this excuse, all this detail. It's like, just own your stuff, Abraham. You've sinned. That's it. Don't need all that. And Abimelech should have stopped him. Hey, bro, I don't need all the detail. I just need to know that you sinned. Because those are excuses. And that is what Judas did, right? He just had remorse. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, so now not only did he blame his wife, he blamed the fear of the people, but now he blames God. God caused me to wander from my father's house, and I said to her, this is the kindness you must do to me, do me, in every place to which we come, he says of me, he is my brother. It's sad because at the end of the day, he got caught. He got caught. But to sit there and blame God now, verse 14, then Abimelech took the sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned to Sarah, his wife, to him. And when Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you, dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah, he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver is a sign of your innocence in my eyes of all who were with you, and before everyone you are vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. They weren't going to be able to have kids, but eventually God was just going to kill them. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So he repeated the sin. And it damages Abraham's character here, right? Kind of makes you look at Abraham a little different. Here he is pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, pleading for Lot. And he goes to the place of the Lord the next morning, but then he goes into this mess. It also damaged his testimony. It compromised his ability. And it brought judgment to other people. But can you imagine the damage it caused to his relationship with Sarah? That's not in the Bible. But every wife in here, you used me and you lied. And you put my life at risk. That's what he did with Sarah. And he didn't do it one time, he did it twice. It damages a relationship. And sometimes our sin is eternal or internal, and sometimes it's public. But there's always a consequence to sin. And Abraham stopped asking what is right. He stopped seeking God for direction. He didn't ask God which way to go. He feared man. He lied. And then when he's caught in his sin, he turns around and he makes excuses and eventually blames God. So Abraham stopped asking what is right and began asking what is safe. And that is what led to his downfall. He stopped seeking God for what it was the right thing to do. And eventually what he ends up doing is it creates a place of safety and comfort for him to where he falls. And we have to be careful. What does God want us to do? What has God called us to do? Right? To walk with him. To be obedient children, right? We learned that this past few weeks about being obedient children of God. And how do we're no prophet, but what do, right? We have the Word of God. We have the complete story. We have something that can guide our lives. Don't ruin your testimony, right? And you telling me everything's okay and your life is in shambles? Don't do that. Just be honest. You don't have to go into all the detail. Just say, hey, look, I need prayer. Just be real. You don't have to come through those doors acting like you got it all together. You don't. None of us do. This is a hospital for the sick, okay? And guess what? We have all been sick at one point and we get healed. You get strengthened and we send you back out, and guess what? At some point you may get sick again and we have to you have to sit and receive, and you get healed up, and then guess what? You strengthen up, and you go back out again. It's God's word. Who knows the heart? Not you. God does. So when that person that you're going, man, that person is nuts. That person's crazy. That person's in sin, and they don't want to deal with it. Pray for them. Because who knows their heart? God does. And that's who we need to go to.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.